Well, here's one for you then, Josh. Given the fact that information you just gave, maybe I should have just taken my pants off and put like hot candle wax all over my backside, and I would have slid faster.
Yeah, who needs the sled? All you need is the wax.
That's right. There's a good visual for the listeners.
Yeah, right? Wax that. Wax the rear. Do you love the outdoors?
Do you love to travel?
Do you love finding hidden treasures in towns all over the USA? Hi, I'm Joshua.
And I'm Craig. And welcome to Treasures of Our Town, the podcast that takes you on a journey to explore the unique and charming towns scattered throughout the United States.
Join us as we venture into some of the country's most intriguing destinations, uncovering hidden gems and local secrets along the way.
On today's episode, Josh, we're going to Break Bad in New Mexico. Josh, say my name.
No, say my name.
Mate, how have you been?
I've been fantastic. How are you?
I'm good, mate. We're going to talk today all about this trip to New Mexico. Now, not just myself, but you've actually been to New Mexico as well. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. We're going to talk about the same thing, but we weren't traveling together. So
no,
we're going to get two points of view. This is fantastic.
Exactly. It might happen a few months ago now. I had never been to New Mexico before, and obviously never found a geocache in New Mexico. I don't believe you had either, did you?
No, that was one of the reasons I wanted to visit, is I've never found a geocache in New Mexico. I had been to New Mexico before, but that was before geocaching.
Oh, wow. How did you find it overall, like in terms of the whole trip for you? How long did you take?
I was just there for a long weekend. Flew in Thursday, flew out Tuesday, so it was like four and a half days or so. But I found New Mexico surprising. It's not a destination that people necessarily think about. They don't necessarily think about the state of New Mexico as a destination of somewhere you'd want to go. But after visiting it, I am very pleasantly surprised on how much fun we had.
I know. I'm a big fan, man. A big fan, I'm telling you. Again, same thing. I had no idea. I had no clue. I thought it was just going to be all like desert sort of style, whatever else as well. But no, definitely not. So when I did, I flew into Albuquerque, and I think you did as well. But we got a hire car because we love hire cars. When we travel, we always get the hire cars. You got to travel.
Wait. Let's just take a moment for us
that
aren't as used to your accent. You just called it a hire car?
That's what
a hire?
Yeah, it's a hire car. What do you call it?
It's called a rental car, sir. This is a podcast about the United States. It's a rental car. It's not a hire car. Although a hire car does sound very classy.
Well, it's a hire car. There you go. That's a new one. We found a new word that I say differently to Americans. I had not heard that before. But anyway.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, my wife says, I'm going to pick up a rental, and I know what she means.
Yes.
But I say hire car. Like, we always say, oh, there we go. I didn't even know that.
It sounds oh so classy.
Exactly. I'm going to use that now, Josh, too, on my other channel, the Aussie in America channel. I'm going to say the differences between Australia and America, one of them is hire cars.
Yes. And I think we can agree, as we're speaking about hire cars.
We're not talking about the cars in terms of height. Like
no, they're not
cars.
Higher. They're
the cars
higher,
for hire.
Higher. Cars for hire. Let's be honest. With road trips, it's the best deal, right? To
it
get
is.
A rental car, because most rental car companies, it's unlimited mileage. And you can just drive and drive and drive. And you know what? Those rental car companies, they don't really care as long as you have that unlimited mileage, right?
Exactly. And that's what we do. Like we get the unlimited mileage and we utilize that. I'm telling you, when I say we, I'm talking about my wife and I, when we do our trips, we utilize the unlimited mileage. I'm talking, you know, we wake up first thing in the morning, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning, we're up, we're out by 7:30 and we're checked out of the hotel and then we're on the road to the next hotel. We don't really stay in the hotels like two nights in a row. Very, very rare because we always go from one town to the next.
Yes, see? Totally.
To find, ready, the treasures of that town.
The treasures of that town. You got to go to many of the towns to sometimes find many of the treasures.
Exactly.
And let's just be honest, you know, on the Treasures of Our Town podcast, sometimes we zoom in, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of zooming out here. I mean, we're talking about almost a whole state. But we're also going to zoom in on some very specific things later in the episode.
We will. So stay tuned for that.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to zone right in later on in the episode. Yeah. But to begin with, we did a full loop, Josh. So we actually drove down, they call it the 85, to Las Cruces.
Now, that was good, Craig. I think you got it right.
Did I get it right?
I think you got it right.
Las Cruces. That's how it looks. But anyway, along there, for geocaching terms, there's an earth cache in a big rest stop. Now, this rest stop, I've never seen a rest stop so big and open. And there was like, you know how at a rest stop, Josh, you normally see picnic tables and the likes as well.
Yes.
These picnic tables, they were large, but they were in enclosed booths with roofs on them. And they were all like up above ground sort of area, like up these stairs and on platforms.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really interesting because, you know, we did a loop as well. And I tell you, we were driving out in the middle of nowhere and we found rest stops, but they were very, some of them, because it was in the middle of nowhere, were very small. And all it was a picnic table and a shelter over the picnic table. And they were just, and we're like, wow, this is a rest stop. And that was it. No bathroom. Yeah, no hiking trail, no wide spaces, just a picnic table with a covering.
But Josh, let's be honest as well. If you live in an area that's a high density area, you go to those like locations like that, and it's wide open spaces with no one around. Yes. How do you feel? Relaxed, calm.
I feel lost. two steps away from doom and no water and.
Well, this rest stop actually overlooked like a valley, and the valley itself, the whole valley was an earth cache. And it taught you about the leveling system of the valley itself, like all the different levels along that valley. In actual fact, we get to this later, but that valley is part of Breaking Bad as well. Where is it? I think right at the very end of the season 5, where they're out and he's digging a hole of some sort. Oh no! Sorry, my bad. Not Breaking Bad. It was the movie after Breaking Bad with Jesse.
Oh, El Camino.
El Camino. That's the one. Yes, my bad. Gotcha. El Camino. Yeah, they were in this particular area, and Jesse was digging a hole, and it was exactly in that earth cache location, which is pretty cool.
Wow. That is really cool.
Yeah. But we drove down, Josh, and we went to this town. You ready for this? This town, it's official town in New Mexico. If you don't believe me, Google. The town's name is called Truth or Consequences.
Yes. I've actually been there. Yeah. I was there. I was there in my 20s, again, before I was a geocacher. But I've been to this town. What a fascinating name for a town. And also very close, I think, is another really strange named town, and that is Elephant Butte.
Yes.
I like to call it Elephant Booty.
I just call it Elephant's Butt.
Oh, that works too.
same, but different.
Yeah.
Josh, but did you know how the town got its name, though?
I did know that it came from a game show, but I don't know much more about other than that.
Well, as we were driving down, because I wasn't driving, I started researching using Google and stuff as well. So the town is named after a radio game show. Originally, the town was called Hot Springs, and the population was just over 6,000 itself. And then in March 1950, it was renamed because Ralph Edwards, who hosted the radio show Truth or Consequences, for his 10th anniversary, he offered to host the show from any town in the United States that would rename itself, and Hot Springs said, we will.
That's funny, because that's like the same thing as like, you get free Cheetos for life if you tattoo the Cheetos logo on your butt.
Or name your child Cheetos or something.
Yeah, like name your child Chester Cheetah. So this whole town changed their name because of a game show, and now they're stuck with it.
They're stuck with it now. That's right. They're stuck with Truth or Consequences.
Was there anything cool in Truth or Consequences?
Not really. We just kind of drove by.
I don't remember a whole lot either.
No.
I remember just beautiful landscapes and wide open spaces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was doing some Munsey along the way. That's about it, really.
Cool. But if you're from Truth or Consequence, hey, email us. Mm-hmm. Tell us what's great about it, because, you know, we just drove by.
Exactly. Well, it used to be named Hot Springs, Josh. So I'm assuming there's some nice hot springs in that location.
There's got to be. And you think that would they'd want to change their name back for just just tourism reasons.
Although in saying
go to the hot springs, yeah.
In saying that, they're getting more publicity by being called Truth or Consequences. If it was just called Hot Springs, we wouldn't even be talking about it right now.
Yeah, true. But I still think people are probably confused. They're maybe not curious. Like, I want to find out why it's named that. I'm just guessing they're thinking, wow, what a weird name. So
yeah. Well, we stayed in Las Cruces that night, and then the next day we traveled down to El Paso, like on the border. Now, I've been on the border with you, Josh, before, and we walked across the border as well.
We walked along the wall.
The wall.
Look at the wall.
There was the wall along here as well in El Paso, but what I wanted was it was the Rio Grande River border. You know, the actual Rio Grande was along there. Yeah. You know what? It was a trickle of a creek. It's like, no wonder everyone's walking back and forth. Like,
yeah. Pretty easy passage.
Yeah, it was.
Now,
it was.
How did this section of the border compare to the border that you and I walked across? So, for those of you listening, Craig and I, we walked into Mexico from Yuma area into, I can't remember the name of the city. But it was the city of dental work.
Dental work.
Where people cross the border to get dental work. But how did it compare?
Oh, there was no comparison. El Paso into wherever it is across the border itself wasn't anywhere near as clean or tidy as it was from Yuma to the dental place. Yeah. I personally wouldn't even cross the border. In actual fact, we kind of did hear gunshots, Josh, as well, because we were up on a mountain area overlooking the Rio Grande and Mexico. And next minute, pop, 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 pop. I'm like, yeah, no, we're out of here. Let's go. Yep.
Let's get in the car and head to White Sands National Park.
That's where we went. But before we went to White Sands, we went to, and this is a must-go. So if you're going to go to must-go locations, the National Border Patrol Museum just outside of El Paso.
Interesting.
A must-see. And, of course, it's a virtual geocache as well. But you go inside, and it's a full museum, Josh. It's got vehicles. Okay. But it's got confiscated vehicles. So you can actually see the different vehicles, and I'm doing that in inverted brackets, different types of vehicles that the people come across into the United States trying to utilize. So undercover vehicles in blackness, on motorcycles that were made out of just like these sticks and twigs and stuff. Like, it's insane some of the things that they've tried, let alone the boats as well. They've tried boats and floating devices. So that was all in this museum.
Was there a little diorama? A little model of the wall that you could see what it looked like from. I'm just imagining that there's a little tiny wall that people can see what it's like. Was that in there?
No, it wasn't. Oh. It wasn't. But
they should get that.
Yeah, but also, cool. There was a full memorial as well for those who have given their full dedication, etc. To border security. So they were all in there as well, and including there was the first female Border Patrol agent. You know, she was memorialized in there as well, along with the actual dogs, like animals that also helped with Border Patrol too. So it was really, really cool.
I didn't even know there was such a thing. Border Patrol Museum. Mm-hmm. That's fascinating.
Yep.
I would love to visit.
And again, probably wouldn't have seen it or recognized it had there not been a virtual geocaching site.
Yep. Sounds like a treasure.
Exactly.
Of the town.
It really was.
Craig. Yeah, now we're going into some overlap. You've talked a lot. I want to talk. Craig, I've done things too. Okay.
Yep.
So, before we get into this, I want to give people context, because I spent time in Albuquerque, like a matter of fact, only like a day and a half in Albuquerque, and then I was with my son Hayden. We did a father-son trip. That's why we were down there, and so we did the Breaking Bad thing, which is coming up. Don't go somewhere else, listener.
Nope.
Because I need to tell you all about that. But after we did that stuff in Albuquerque, we drove 3 hours down there to experience White Sands National Park.
What was your experience then, Josh, with White Sands National Park?
I wasn't really sure what to expect. I saw pictures on Instagram and whatnot, and I see pictures of people you know, getting these little saucer sleds and actually sledding down the sand dunes. And I knew I wanted to do that. I knew if I was going to do anything, we had to sled down the sand dunes because I've never experienced anything like that. So, but my first impressions is you're driving up and you're not really seeing the white sands much.
No.
And you drive into the park and it's, you start seeing white sands, but you're like, oh, this is kind of okay. But the deeper and the deeper you get into the park, it is like you are transformed to a different planet. You literally feel like, what is this sand planet? Not only sand planet, white sand planet that I am on. It did not feel like Earth.
And for those to try and imagine as well, as you drive around, like you go past the visitor center, for instance, and it's a normal visitor center, a national park visitor center. It's nice, you know. And like Josh said as well, as you drive through, you're on bitumen, like you're on the roadway, and then you go like around. As soon as you go around and turn past a white mound of sand, next minute, there's no roadway anymore.
Yeah,
it's all hard and sand. But it's hard sand. It's so hard. And you can see where the road obviously is.
Yes.
But it's all hard. And then everything is white.
It was so surreal. Mm-hmm. And the thing that was funny, I was there on a weekend, so it was pretty busy.
Yeah.
And you know, normally when you go to a national park and people are spending time there, you see people picnicking, you see people setting up, you know, volleyball nets and you know, doing different like things you do in a national park, little picnic forest. And I was thinking, looking around, that's not going to happen here. I was wrong. People just camping out, setting up umbrellas and setting up badminton nets and just hanging out on the sand. And let me tell you, there is nothing there but sand. There is not a tree in sight. There is not a shelter in sight.
Nope.
All it is just humongous dunes of sand. And people are just spending time there. I was just kind of like, wow, you can spend all day here?
And I mean, let's be honest as well, Josh, you climbed to one of the top of those dunes itself. You call them dunes. I call them dunes. That's another Australian thing. But if you climb to one of the top to actually see over, this white sands goes for miles and miles and miles. And then all you see is right in the background itself. All you can actually see is a mountain range of some sort. Yes. But it's so far away. All the rest between the mountain range and you is just white sand. And like Josh said, no trees, no bushes, no shrubs.
No animals.
Just
no lizards. There are no cactuses.
There are animals there, but you couldn't see any.
But there's also very little vegetation once you get into the actual sand dunes. And the sand is so fine and it is so white. You need to wear sunglasses. At least I did. You would be blinded because just imagine, you know, the sun is reflecting off the sand. It's one thing if it's brown sand, but white sand, it is so bright. And another thing that was interesting, I'm used to, you know, when you go to a beach where the sand is, you know, brown sand, on a hot, hot day, you're expecting that sand to be like really hot, right? Mm. But because the sand is white, it's just reflecting all the heat. So the sand is not hot at all. It was very comfortable. And you might be wondering, Josh, Craig, did you sled down a sand dune?
I did, but I didn't actually use a sled. I just used my big butt.
Okay.
Did it
work?
Absolutely, it worked.
Are you still picking sand out of your butt crack?
No.
Is this TMI?
It was washed. I'm not going to edit this. It was all washed out that evening in the shower. So it's okay.
Well, I could just say my suitcase. True story. I'm still finding sand in my suitcase from, you know, my socks or whatever.
Yeah.
And here's a tip for you: when you hit those sand dunes, just take the shoes and socks off, man.
Yeah.
Or you're gonna have sand in those things forever.
Yeah.
I also did go sledding. So here's the tip for you if you're interested in going to White Sands National Park. You need to try the experience of sledding down a sand dune.
Mm-hmm.
They actually do sell and rent the little saucers.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the pro tip. Don't skimp out on the wax.
Oh.
you got to wax the bottom of that thing, the bottom of the saucer, so it doesn't have as much friction. And then you're going to get a little bit more speed. And if you're used to sledding on snow, our experience was it was certainly not as fast as sledding on snow.
No. But
it was a really unique experience.
Yeah.
And I was just baffled that people just spent, I was talking to people picnicking and they were spending days in the middle of that sand dune. And, you know, they were bringing, you know, frisbees and they were doing activities.
Yeah.
And we were there just to sled and we got out of there. We were probably only spent 90 minutes, but it was memorable and the pictures were fantastic.
Well, here's one for you then, Josh. Given the fact that information you just gave, maybe I should have just taken my pants off and put like hot candle wax all over my backside and I would have slid faster.
Yeah. Who needs the sled? All you need is the wax.
That's right. There's just a good visual for the listeners.
Yeah, right? Wax that. Wax the rear.
The bottom. The bottom.
Sled on down. We should probably move on.
We should. We should move on. We always get to the bottom of things, Josh. Anyway. You like that?
That was good.
We, after White Sands, Josh, we actually drove east. I'm trying to think of my directions. We drove east and we went to this little town. It was a very, very small town called Reduso Downs. Reduso Downs. There's a Billy the Kid visitor center.
Okay.
Billy the Kid visitor center. There was two adventure labs around the visitor center as well. And they were massive horse sculptures. Now, I don't know what happens in this town, but I'm assuming that there's actually like an actual horse breeding town as well.
Right.
Because these horses, they had each individual horse had its own little plaque.
Oh, wow.
Telling you the breed of the horse, how fast it runs, the height and the width and all that sort of thing of the different horses. But it was just, to me, again, we go up the mountaintop itself and this little town pops open at the top. Again, this is just another thing in New Mexico. This is what happens. You go from nowhere to all of a sudden, bang, here's this little town. And it, again, treasures of these little towns.
So Billy the Kid, is there a reason why the Billy the Kid
was
Museum
in that town?
Here?
He was in that town.
He was in the town? Was he born there? He just showed up there? Why did they celebrate him?
I didn't research. I'm even thinking the fact that he may have been like in that town. I'm not sure. Okay. I'll have to research that more. I didn't even think to research these things, Josh.
Well,
we
do have a podcast.
I know we do. I know. We should have it. If I'm going to bring up this information, I'm going to have to try and research a bit more.
But you know what? If you're really curious, listener, we all have the internet, right?
Exactly right. Reduso, R-U-I-D-O-S-O, Reduso Downs is the place. But anyway, Josh, after that, there's another small town called Lincoln. Lincoln was a very old historic town as well. Again, nice adventure lab in there, but as with others, sometimes you have to have the adventure lab offline.
Yeah.
Because there was not really that much service up there. So
yes, that is an issue.
And then we hit the same town that you may have hit. Roswell.
I was trying to make an alien sound.
I know that was
not an alien sound. It wasn't even a good ghost sound.
No,
what do aliens? How about this?
E.T. phone. E.T. phone.
That's not bad, but I might actually put some sort of sound over the top instead in post. Anyway, Josh, Roswell, my opinion of Roswell is that it is a town that needs to be visited if you go to New Mexico. Has to be visited.
Why?
The entire town is alien themed.
They're obsessed.
They're absolutely obsessed. It's like that's all they live for. From the entry points to the town is all like alien ships up in the entry points themselves. There's an alien museum. There's a Dunkin' Donuts with a massive alien holding up the sign. There's murals everywhere.
There's a McDonald's place is a UFO.
Mm-hmm.
I want to add something because I was there too.
Yeah. And what did you think? I was about to ask you, Josh, in terms of what did you think about the whole alien theme? And could you actually, you know, maybe do a whole weekend in Roswell, for instance?
I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes when we visit these places, we're not exactly sure what we're missing.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody told me I had to visit the official UFO museum.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot, Craig. I learned a lot of history. There were several adventure labs there. I did, get this, I did a full UFO where I go there. So,
yep.
So again, I want to clarify this because I understand people are listening to this for travel. They might not be geocachers. So yeah, let me tell you what a where I go is. Where I go is basically a type of geocache that is a sort of interactive. You go to one location and a special where I go app opens up the next location when you answer the question correctly. So it's basically virtual stages that open up after you answer questions in different locations. So Craig, I learned why people believe that the aliens chose to be around there in the 1950s?
50s, yes. I think it was, yeah.
So there was a man, I'm going to murder the name, and I don't remember his name, but there was a man that even before we started like shooting rockets up into space, he was testing rockets there, Craig. He was shooting rockets higher than I think maybe anybody had ever shot before. So the theory is because that got the aliens' attention, and that's why Roswell was a place where there was so much UFO activity. And then in the 1940s or 50s, supposedly on a farm outside of town, aliens crashed there.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so famous.
So because of that one guy, he basically is the target for aliens. He targeted the Earth in Roswell for the aliens.
Yeah. He got their attention.
Yeah.
And that's why. I thought that was fascinating. And can't you see how people would like kind of put things together when they find some strange thing? Now, the government says it was a weather balloon.
Oh, yeah.
That was out there.
Well, but Josh, let's be honest as well. Everything is a conspiracy theory until it's proven correct.
True.
who knows until it's proven correct? But what was your favorite part of Roswell, do you think?
I think I did like the UFO museum. I mean, there was one part, and in the middle of the museum, you go in and, every museum has the film you watch, and we go into this room with like just a scatter of people, like two other people were in there or two other like couples of people were in there. And it's just like these older folks just with really bad VHS, like from the 90s, explaining like what they remember as their kid about their dad telling them that they saw UFOs and aliens. And we just kind of looked at each other like, wow. This was our spring vacation.
But again, Josh, as you said, it is a must-see. You must go there. If you go to Roswell, you have to go to the museum.
Like our previous episode, the whole city is really a roadside attraction.
Yeah.
And you got to visit. And there were some really good caches in town. I don't know if you had a time to geocache.
I
had a good chance, opportunity to geocache. And I want to give a shout out to a cacher that had most of the great caches in town, Frog Dog and Corker. How's that for a geocache name? I like it. Frog Dog and Corker. And they just had great geocaches. And they had some really interesting alien themed geocaches. So you gotta love that they chose to create some geocaches that match the town. I love that.
Yeah, that's really, and like the whole town gets into this whole alien theme. But Josh, going back to the museum itself, one of my favorite parts of that museum, because we went there as well, is as you go around, not only do you actually have, like, you can see, you got a glass window and you can see into the rooms where they're operating on, these aliens and stuff,
That was really creepy.
That was really creepy. And just so happened to be all the aliens kind of look human-like. But Josh, what I enjoyed the most itself was after you see these like alien-like creatures and stuff as well, is you get to learn the different dimensions of contact. So, the contact in the first dimension, the second dimension, third dimension, into the fourth dimension. Contact in the first dimension is just seeing light in the sky, for instance. But the fourth dimension is when you get abducted up into that ship and you get probed and whatever else as well.
Yes. Yeah. And you're saying dimension. I don't know if that's like an Australian thing, but it's actually contact of the third and second kind. Close encounter of the first, second, third kind. It's close encounter.
Close encounters of the third. It's Australia's dimensions.
There's actually a movie called Close Encounters of the Third Kind. But I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it is dimension. Wow. We've been so We've been so like on the same page.
Yeah.
And this, I feel like this episode, we're really diverting. I mean, there's rental cars and there's hi-ahs. There's dimensions. There's encounters.
Okay. I'm going to grab this and move it on because I'm going to tell you now the best place, Josh.
Okay.
The best place I have went to in New Mexico
is?
And wait for it, and the top five locations that I've been in my entire United States. Yep, yep.
This is big.
This is huge. Big. You ready?
Yeah.
Carlsbad Caverns National Park.
Ooh.
Because I had no clue about this Carlsbad Caverns National Park. It looks like a small national park. It's a national park. You know, White Sands National Park is a national park. Carlsbad Caverns is a national park. No. This is a national park, Josh, that is underground.
Yes.
Underground.
It's world famous cave of stalactites and stalagmites.
And Josh, I'm telling you now, this thing, it's not just like, you know, oh yeah, you go into a cave and then you look around and you go back out. No, this thing takes 2 hours and that's the short route. Yeah. 2 hours of walking, the short route.
Yeah.
These caverns are huge.
Amazing. They're amazing.
I'm talking. If you go into some humongous building itself, there's 4 or 5 stories of just emptiness. That's what they're in some of these caves, in some of these caverns. That's what it's like in there.
Yeah, and I've seen it in books. I've seen it in books. It's beautiful when they turn the lights on. Yeah. It's really gorgeous.
Yeah, but that's 2 hours. Cool. 2 hours taking the short route, and to take the short route, you actually use an elevator to go all the way down and come all the way back up. Whereas it's 4 hours the long way if you walk directly from the visitor center, the long way down. But otherwise, we did the 2 hour short route using the elevator. I tell you now, my wife, she's not really a fan of elevators. She's always thinking to herself, how often does this thing break down? You know?
Yeah. Craig, were there any like really tight squeezes? I know on some cave tours, it's like there's certain areas where you're like, oh, that's a fat man's pass. And if you're fat, you're not getting through.
Not Carlsbad. Not Carlsbad. Carlsbad National Park is for all types of people.
Nice.
And all Americans. Let's just say that.
Perfect.
Because, Josh, there is actually a path as well, because there are some paths where you can't go with wheelchairs, right, because of the incline or the decline of the path. But there's a workaround for wheelchair access, you know what I mean? So this Carlsbad Caverns National Park is for all people, you know, wheelchair-bound or able-bodied, the whole lot, you know? Yeah, absolutely. Again, as I said, it's in my top five places to go in the United States.
There had to be an earth cache there. Did you do an earth cache there?
Yeah, there was two.
There had to be. If there's not an earth cache there, I mean, wow.
Yeah, no, there was two.
You know, we were thinking about it. You know, I believe it's an hour and a half south of Roswell.
Yeah, it is.
But we were running out of time. And, you know, you go an hour and a half south, you got an hour and a half back to. And so we just couldn't tag on 3 hours of more driving.
Plus the 2 hours there.
True. Yeah. And also, we went straight from Roswell up to Santa Fe, which we're about to get to.
And that's where I'm going to go. We did the same thing, Josh. We went from Carlsbad Caverns back up past Roswell again and into Santa Fe from there. So that's what we did as well. So let's move on to Santa Fe then.
Ooh. There's so many songs, I think, that are written about Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get to spend a lot of time there. I had one target and one thing that I had time for. Mm-hmm. When I got there, I realized I could spend a whole lot more time here.
Oh, yeah.
But I went to Meow Wolf.
Oh, yes, that's right.
This is the third time. This is the third episode of our podcast that I've talked about Meow Wolf, right?
Yeah. So if people hadn't had Meow Wolf in their minds by now, then who knows?
Okay. So I believe Meow Wolf, this is their latest location. And started in Vegas. There's one in Denver. I think there's more popping up. But it's this most amazing art experience, like fever dream place. And it's really hard to explain, but after this podcast, search Meow Wolf and you'll get an idea. But basically, it starts in reality and then all of a sudden you walk through portals and it's like you're on different planets and it's just unreal. You can't even like imagine some of these things. They're so amazing. So
it's immersive, Josh.
It's very immersive. It's a little spendy. It's a little expensive. It's about $90. $90 a person. But let me tell you,
wow,
it's once in a lifetime.
True.
And I felt like it was worth it. But true, check out Meow Wolf. That's all I know about Santa Fe because I didn't I didn't have enough time.
Oh, Josh.
Yeah, we had to catch a plane the next day.
In my show notes, Josh, Santa Fe, right? And the next dot point is lots to do. And you didn't have time, you poor thing.
I believe it.
That one of the great, going on geocaching, one of the actual great large geocaches is inside this old historic hotel in Santa Fe that I did.
Oh, and you know, I love an indoor geocache.
You go up to the concierge and say, "Can I have the geocache, please?" And she turns around and she unveils it, Josh. It's got like behind a screen and she unveils it and it's a treasure chest. It's an actual treasure chest behind this screen. So she unveils it. So that's in the hotel. There's Adventure Labs everywhere. I'm talking.
Oh, I believe it.
Everywhere. And again, if you're into geocaching, if not, have a look at Adventure Labs. It's a different app itself. But if you're into geocaching and you have apps like Cachely, for instance, or I'm not sure with Android, but Cachely now, you can actually see individual Adventure Lab locations, not just one main location. You can see all five of the one.
Right. That's nice.
The one lab. So that's nice. So, and because a couple of them double up, I'll be honest, a couple of them do double up. So be careful of that as well. You think, oh, well, I'll finish this one. Oh, no, it didn't register. No, there's another one there. But there's beautiful walks all around downtown. Now, downtown is old school, I'm going to call it Mexican buildings, Josh, because, and the vibes, you know, that rounded top building that you see that's looked like it's been sanded back of sand and blasted. You know, shelf.
With
that's what like
the adobe clay houses.
Yes, that's the ones. That's the ones. That's the ones. But Josh, there was also a coffee shop, a coffee shop slash brewery. So it's coffee shop in the morning, brewery in the afternoon. I know, but it's called the Travel Bug Hotel.
Tell me more.
I can't because it was closed when we got there. But
what did you DNF'd it?
No, because the virtual is outside. You just take a photo. So it's one of those.
Remember when we DNF'd our first geocache in Mexico?
Yeah, we did. I remember that.
And we made a big mistake. That's for another episode.
There you go. But Josh, saying that as well, the last point to say in Santa Fe is that it is museums galore. There's folk art museums, there's American Indian museums, there's Indian arts and culture museums. There's three big museums all in the same complex where you park your car in one spot and then go from museum to museum to museum. So that's pretty cool. Yeah.
I would love to go back. I need to visit again. Even as a geocacher, this all sounds great. Thanks for letting me know. What a resource this podcast is.
I know, right? We're giving out lots of quality content right here.
So I know we're heading into Albuquerque.
Yeah, we are.
We're making the full loop here.
We are.
But between Santa Fe and Albuquerque, did you know, maybe you found it, did you know that you can locate New Mexico's oldest geocache?
Yes, you can.
Did you go to it?
No, we didn't.
Okay. So I have a story. I was like, oh my gosh, it's New Mexico's oldest geocache, which is actually a virtual.
Maybe did we then.
Yeah, it's a virtual. But here's the thing. I drove up. You'll remember it if you did. You drive up. You're off the highway. And then you drive up through this neighborhood of beautiful homes, like the most gorgeous homes. And then you park, you know, kind of like, it's like at the end of a dead end or something. And there's a trailhead there. And as soon as I got to the trailhead and I saw what time it was, and my son was right next to me, who is not really a geocacher, and realized it was almost a mile hike as the crow flies, I had to put my head down, take a deep breath, and say, I'm not finding New Mexico's oldest geocache.
Yet.
Yet.
On that trip. Yes. If it was a mile hike involved, we didn't do it either because, we don't have time for that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Mind you, Hayden, your son as well, isn't he Woody Jr.? Isn't that his geocaching name?
He's more like, now he's more like Jesse Pinkman Jr. based on his fandom.
Yeah.
Because I gave him his geocaching name when he was I don't know, 4 years old. He really loved Woody from Toy Story.
Yep.
Now he really loves Jesse Pinkman from Breaking Bad.
Just so slightly different.
We've gone from rated G to rated R. Thumbs up to parenting. All right.
Josh, going into Albuquerque as well, there is a place that people must stop before they get to Albuquerque. If they don't stop for the oldest cache, they must visit. And now this is for everyone, non-geocachers alike as well. Again, a must visit is the Wildlife West. Ooh. It's an actual rehabilitation zoo.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so my wife, she loves animals. She loves rehabilitation, zoos and stuff like that. And I found this zoo in the research. So we went to have a look at it as well. Now, there's obviously this geocache out the front. And it's a large one. But the geocache description is one of the best descriptions I've heard. It tells you about going into the zoo and how it's good to, you know, give back to the wildlife and whatever else as well. But it says that the zoo owner, the guy who's in charge of it all, he's a bit of a talker. He likes a bit of a chin wag, and he's a jokester, and he comes out with a million dad jokes. So straight away, my wife, she's introvert, doesn't like talking to people. She looks at that description and goes, oh, I don't know if I'm going to go there or not. I said, this is your favorite thing to do, is the rehabilitation animal. She goes, yeah, but I don't want to talk to someone. I said, I'll be your buffer.
You
know? So yeah,
that's called social lubricant.
Oh yes,
you are the social lubricant.
Well, Josh, these animals in this zoo, I'm telling you, they were absolutely stunning, gorgeous, well looked after, well fed, and most of them, of course, can no longer be released into the wild. They wouldn't survive, you know, with broken wings and broken legs. And some of them have just—they've never been in the wild. They've been like a pet in Florida, for instance, you know, or something like that. And so someone's given them up, and so they give them to these particular rescue zoos. And but yeah, this one here was a rescue zoo itself, and I met this crazy bird. There's two of them, and they come rushing up to the Perspex glass, and they look at you, and apparently they're quite dangerous, but anyway, they look at you.
you're not afraid, you're Australian.
Exactly.
You're not afraid.
That's what they knew. They kind of come and say g'day. But then next, they're like laughing, and their necks go back, like full on, like 180 degrees backwards.
Oh my God.
And then come forward again. And then, like, it's like they're laughing at you by like shoving their head all the way back, laughing at you. And then they look at you again. Unbelievable. Again, I didn't research it. I just remembered that now, just talking about it.
The bent neck birds.
Bent neck birds.
See them.
Unbelievable.
See him at the Wildlife West. And before we get into Breaking Bad, you know, just outside of Albuquerque, I mean, you're surrounded by mountains.
Yeah.
And Hayden and I decided to take the Sandia Peak Tramway.
Oh, yes.
Where you get on a tram and you go, like, I don't know. I think it's very, very high into the mountains. I don't know if it's a 14er, but I certainly over 10,000 feet, snow-capped, you know, mountains, beautiful views. You get to see Albuquerque from a beautiful distance. That was a cool experience and a very cold one as well. So yeah, we did that as well. We didn't do all Breaking Bad stuff.
No. And I did see that too. If people don't follow you, Josh, on Instagram, for instance, I follow you on your Instagram page. Again, links in the description. And I saw the photos of you in the actual tram itself with Hayden as such as well. And those views were absolutely stunning.
Worth it. I think it was like $20, but it was totally worth it. To go up there. And, you know, sometimes you don't get to see those views unless you're, you know, a downhill skier.
Yeah.
Those are pretty typical, but it's pretty cool that you have access to something like that even if you don't ski.
Exactly. Anyway, Josh, we're going to go to drive now into Albuquerque and
bow,
into.
Bow,
here we go.
Green smoke. You like that? That was my Breaking Bad theme.
I might put the real theme on, out of this.
You want me to do it again? Bow, 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 bow. Green smoke.
I don't think it's just your son that's a fan of this show, but anyway, tell us about everything about this RV tour.
Yeah.
Because you were actually in an RV too, didn't you?
Spoiler alert.
Oh, well.
Yeah. So, okay, let's back up a minute. We're going to zoom in. We're zooming
back
out. Actually, we're zooming right in.
We're zooming right in.
We're talking about the fact that, right in there, the fact that the show Breaking Bad, the show Better Call Saul on AMC, was shot primarily in the Albuquerque area.
Yeah.
And, Craig, you as a fan, you see how much that the city of Albuquerque almost feels like a character of the show.
Really does. It really
does. Would you say that the Breaking Bad show does a good job kind of giving the essence of what Albuquerque is like, minus crime and drugs and all the things that are involved with Breaking Bad? But does it really do it justice? Does the show do justice for what Albuquerque actually is in real life?
It really does. I'm telling you now, it really does. It shows you, because Albuquerque isn't about high rises and stuff like that too. So it's all about the spread and the sprawl, the urban sprawl that Albuquerque is. At the same time, you see these mountains in the background. You see the sandy dust on the bitumen roadways. You know, you actually see things like the big, massive, huge car wash. You know,
yes.
Like, it's all there, Josh.
Yeah, it's all there. So, again, to back up, I'm a real fan of movie locations. I've done videos on the Back of the Future movie locations. Last episode, we talked about the dinosaurs, the Cabazon. Gosh.
Cabazon, yeah.
That's not right. But those dinosaurs in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yep.
I've done all of Ferris Bueller's Day Off in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Fun fact, it takes longer than one day. It took us 3 days to do everything that Ferris Bueller did.
Wow.
So my son is a big fan of Breaking Bad. I'm also a fan of Breaking Bad. So during Christmas 2022, everybody opened up all their presents. And then I walked up to Hayden and I was like, there's one more present. And he opened it up and it was a picture of the Breaking Bad RV, and I told him, we're going on a trip to Albuquerque, and we're taking a TV show location tour of we're taking a TV show location tour of Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, and not only that, we're taking it in a Winnebago van RV, recreational vehicle. Now, for people that don't know the show, Craig, tell them why that's significant. Why the Winnebago RV?
Well, it's a Winnebago RV because Walter White, who is a school teacher and who has just been diagnosed with cancer, goes for a ride along with his brother, who's a police officer, a DEA agent at that as well, and goes in and sees how much money that methamphetamine making is creating. And so he thinks to himself, well, I've got to pay my medical bills here because it's America. And had to chuck that in. And so I have to pay my medical bills. And he's obviously a science teacher as well. So he's brilliant. And so he knows how to cook methamphetamine, but not just cook methamphetamine, I cook the purest form of methamphetamine. The best way to do it, like in New Mexico, because it's such an open space, sort of barren land area, is put your lab on wheels in an RV. So the lab itself that they started off with, Josh, is the RV that they actually travel into the deserts of Mexico where they can't be seen and the smoke can billow out from the roof of the RV. As much as it wants.
So, yes. So, we took the tour in a fake meth lab, basically.
Well, it had duct tape everywhere, taping the straws to the roof and stuff.
Yeah. Now, here's what's really cool. I don't know if you know this, Craig.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I knew about the RV tour, because I was just going to take a car and I was just going to drive place to place, which I certainly could have done.
Yeah.
But I was curious if there were any Breaking Bad geocaches in Albuquerque. And I didn't have a lot of luck finding them. I searched the term Breaking Bad, all that stuff. But then I went to the Adventure Lab app. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're not a geocacher or you've never heard of it, this is a side thing. We've referenced it many times. It's basically virtual geocaches within its own sort of app. But each location you find, you get a find on your geocaching profile.
Mm-hmm.
So sure enough, Craig, I found a Breaking Bad movie location, adventure of five locations. And when I scrolled through it, because I was curious, I scrolled through all the people that had taken it. And some of the people said, you need to take this tour. You need to do the Adventure Lab taking the RV tour. And sure enough, that's how I found out about it.
Wow. That is so cool.
So that's what this podcast is all about, right? Is geocaching guiding us to cool treasures that we wouldn't know about otherwise. So
exactly,
I just thought that was really, really cool. So I'll go through it briefly because I know if you're not into the show, this might not be as interesting to you, but I'm going to try to make it as interesting as possible. So you get into this... this lab, And we filled it up, and Hayden and I sat in the back. And I have a video of this. And we sat back there, and as you're sitting in the back of this Winnebago, what is right in front of me but Walter White's shirt? And there's screens. And so what's so cool about this, Craig, is that you're riding along, and you know, not everything in Albuquerque is a shooting location, right? But as you're about to approach the shooting location, there's a big screen TV in the front and a screen in the back. So it's showing you clips from the show of the thing you were right about to see.
That's cool. That's really cool. So you can see it from two points of view, or even if, because Breaking Bad, let's be honest, Josh, it was filmed quite a few years ago now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've recently just rewatched the whole series again, because why not? but if you don't, and you still want to go and view it, that's a great idea to give you the point of reference. Go, oh, that's right. That's part of this show. That's part of that show. Like, for instance, the Crystal Palace, for instance, as well.
Yes, yes.
It's just one of the places.
Totally. And there were some places that... Of course, we didn't have time to get out of the RV, every time. The tour was 3 hours long, so it was a good chunk of the day. Yeah. There were some locations we couldn't get out of the RV, but there were other locations that we could, and I will highlight some of the ones that we did. One of the ones, and probably the most popular location we couldn't get out of the RV, was Walter White's house.
Yes.
Did you get to see Walter White's house?
No, we didn't. Okay. We didn't do, because I didn't even think, Josh, when we went there as well, my wife, she's never seen Breaking Bad. She's one of those. So I never even thought the fact that Breaking Bad was filmed in Albuquerque. So until you said to me about the RV tour, this is after I'd been there, I was like, oh, damn. But, and again, there was nothing, there's no actual physical geocaches reference to show, but an adventure lab. So, and I didn't even see that. So, yeah.
And so, Walter White's house, if you go there, here's a tip. First of all, the lady that lives there, she's not a fan of Breaking Bad fans.
I know.
You know, and I think even years ago, people would actually go and throw pizzas on her roof.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't know the show, there's a scene where Walter White gets so frustrated that he accidentally throws a pizza. Well, is it an accident? I'm not sure. He gets so angry that a pizza ends up on his roof. And so people would come to this lady, poor lady's house, and throw pizzas on her roof. But come on, you live in Walter White's house. Aren't you kind of asking for it?
Exactly. And now, Josh, just to give you a reference as well with the pizza on the roof thing, that was the first and only take they did of that, because he wasn't supposed to go on the roof. He was just supposed to throw the pizza. That was it. Like, throw the pizza box.
So funny.
That's it. And the pizza went literally left the box itself as a whole pizza. And this is another contentious issue, is that the pizza was not sliced. But are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? The pizza wasn't sliced. So when they did that actual episode where the pizza threw up onto the roof and it wasn't sliced, because to try and keep the pizza whole in the box, it wasn't supposed to be sliced, but it created like a frisbee and it went up on the roof, right?
Right.
They kept that in the show. They then had to rewrite a little episode down the track afterwards where Jesse like gets one of his other people who's living with him at the time doing their drugs to order pizzas. The pizzas come and none of the pizzas are sliced. And they had to say it's because that you save $2 a pizza if it's unsliced.
Oh my gosh.
So they had to add that in.
A callback.
Yeah, so a callback.
Brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. If you haven't watched Breaking Bad, absolutely should. It's available, you know, on
family apps. Friendly. Let's just
No.
You know, it's a little dark, especially the first couple episodes. You're like, what the heck am I watching?
Yeah.
But the acting is great. The storytelling is great. Mm-hmm. It's a great character show. If you like shows that really show characters' journey,
absolutely.
The hero's journey, and in this show, it's more of the anti-hero's journey.
Mm-hmm.
You'll love this.
And found as well the two main characters, Josh. Like, so you got Walt and Jesse. Mm-hmm. Their characters are opposite in episode one compared to the last episode. You know what I mean?
Totally.
They actually cross over in terms of their character reference.
Yes.
They physically cross over.
So yeah, it's fascinating.
It is, but absolutely.
If you go to Walter's house, you got to be respectful of the homeowner. We stayed on the other side of the street. You'll see that there's just big fences.
Yeah.
But that, you know, that wasn't going to stop us from visiting. So
no.
We drove by it on the tour, but we went back to it in our car so we could get some video footage. Again, I have a full video of this. It's Craig edited it. It was fantastic. So Walter's house. You got to stop there. We went to Jesse's house. We went to Jesse and Jane's apartment. Again, if you don't watch the show, you don't know what that means. But yeah, we went to Tuco's hideout.
That was really cool.
Now, and they showed the clip because the windows of Tuco's hideout, they get blown out. Spoiler alert, they get blown apart. And the cool thing is that Tuco's hideout is a coffee shop. I wish I had time to go back.
I know.
But it's actually a coffee shop, and it should be called Tuco's hideout. If I own that coffee shop, it would be called Tuco's hideout.
100%.
One of the places we got to go out, you referenced it already, Craig, was the A1 car wash, which is like this kind of
huge.
Yeah, it's this old, like almost 1960s looking car wash.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to go out and take a look at that. And actually, that was our bathroom stop. we went to this place called the Dog House, which is a hot dog place, kind of one of those drive-in places. It's more featured in Better Call Saul. But it's also in Breaking Bad. We didn't eat there because they only took cash, and it's one of these places. Well, it's like a drive-in. Craig, you know what a drive-in is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like you drive up and they come to your window, right?
Yeah, I've been to them here. We don't have them in Australia, but I've been to them here.
Yeah, like a Sonic.
Like Sonic, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. This is a drive-in, but there's no way to tell anybody that you're there. Tell anybody that you want somebody to come to your window and take your order. So we parked there for a good 10 minutes and waited, and nobody came. And we just couldn't figure it out. I went on the website. It's like, do I have to call a number?
Yeah.
And we went outside to take pictures, and she was just basically just like, yeah, we'll come to your car eventually. I was like, okay, this doesn't feel like a real restaurant.
Yeah.
So we didn't eat there. But I guess they do have good hot dogs. But where we did eat, and this was a part of the tour, was the very famous restaurant from Breaking Bad, and that's Los Pollos Hermanos. I think I said it right.
Yeah, better than me. I would say Los Pollos Hermanos.
But this is, there's a character in Breaking Bad called Gus, even a very important character in Better Call Saul, which, Craig, you gotta get on that, man.
Oh, I am. I'm halfway through it.
Oh, you are? Wow.
Yeah,
fantastic. Yeah. Good for you. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. But we got to actually get out, and we got to eat breakfast burritos there. So that was pretty cool. And the restaurant so much honors the show. There's basically a Breaking Bad shrine inside the restaurant.
That's really cool.
And there was actually a logbook, so I kind of felt like, oh, this is like signing a geocache. I was like, why is this not a geocache? Because it should be.
And again, those listeners listening right now, after the actual finish this episode, go into the show notes, and the link to Josh's video will be in the show notes. So if you want to actually, if you can't, you know, imagine what we're talking about, go to Josh's videos and you'll see exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah. Also at the restaurant, there was Howard's car from Better Call Saul, the Jaguar with the Namaste license plate, just parked randomly outside the restaurant. And there was also a Los Pollos Hermanos truck, you know, the trucks that they were smuggling the product
in
from Mexico. So that was cool. And then I think this was the most surprising location is the laundromat. So spoiler alert, kind of, the laundromat ends up being a major location for the show. And there's something, I don't want to spoil the show. So
yeah,
there's a special room.
Secret hideout
in the basement
of
this laundromat. So we go to this place where the laundromat was supposed to be for the show. And guess what, Craig? It's an actual laundromat.
People working there?
There were people working there, but it's not like a laundromat where you go and wash your personal clothes. It's like an industrial one.
Oh, just like the show.
It's just like the show. And, you know, they have these giant washers. And in the show, you get to the secret hideout behind one of these, like, huge washing machines, right?
They're huge.
They take you, because of the tour, you get access to actually go inside, and you can go right to that washing machine where they get to the hideout.
Wow. Yeah. The one that actually moves in a way that you can, get to the hideout. Wow.
Exactly.
Did it move? Did it move for you, Josh?
Spoiler alert. At the actual laundromat, there's nothing behind it.
Oh.
There's not actually, just like the movie, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, you know, when Pee-wee was looking for his bike and they kept on telling him it was in the basement of the Alamo.
Oh.
When he gets there, spoiler alert, she goes, there's no basement in the Alamo. Well, there's no basement in this industrial laundromat.
So literally they walk down into a room that's already made somewhere else in a studio somewhere.
Yeah, they walked into nowhere. So
that's
the tour
really cool.
The tour is fantastic. Another thing, you know, the tour guide was obviously very knowledgeable about the show. Mm-hmm. I mean, they do it every single day. There was trivia. They handed you, when you got trivia questions right, they handed you little bags of product, of blue product. And it was not the meth. It was candy.
Oh, so
candy that looks like the product.
The product, yeah.
And I'll get to that at my last thing. So we're done with the tour. It was fantastic. And they drop you off. Where do they drop you off? At one of the coolest stores I've ever been. And that is the Breaking Bad store, Craig.
Oh, wow. So there's
a
full store.
Oh, the store
I didn't
even
see that.
Oh, my gosh, Craig. It's a store. It's all Breaking Bad, all Better Call Saul. You go in, and not only is it a store, Craig, but it's a museum. So you go from the store area, and it's free museum, and there's costumes from the show. Like,
wow.
This guy's bought costumes. There's like little scenes, like there's a Los Pollos Hermanos scene where you can like take a picture and make it look like you're one of the workers there. You can sit in Saul Goodman's desk.
What?
Yeah. It was, wow. It was like little places where you can take pictures.
And wow.
I might have spent $75 there. That may be true. It may be not true, but I might have spent.
Depends if your wife's asking, listening.
Yeah, $75 in the Breaking Bad store. So then we were told by the tour guide, after, you know, we do the Breaking Bad store, you have to visit the candy lady.
The candy lady. That sounds very ominous.
Yeah. And I'm like, why do you have to visit the candy lady? Well, there's a candy shop, right? And this is all, they're dropping us off all in what is called Old Town.
Yeah, so I actually went to Old Town.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. There's a virtual cache that I found there.
Done it.
Lady in a Tree.
That's the one, Lady in the Tree. Yeah,
yeah. It was. I think that cache has the most favorite points in Albuquerque, so I knew I had to do it. And that's actually where the Breaking Bad tour starts. So it was perfect.
So I was right there on my trip.
You were right there. Anyway, we had to visit the candy. So we go and visit the candy lady. And the reason this lady's so important is that she creates the product.
No.
For the show. She
not
makes
the real
the hard, she makes the hard rock candy that is
The candy that looks like the product.
That looks like it. Like and if you watch the show, she's making that in the, you know, there's like totes of it. You know, there's like
I was
big
gonna say,
plastic bins.
At one point, Josh, because they can see through bins.
Yeah.
Jesse's got 4 and 5 of these bins full.
Yep.
The gallons and gallons and gallons of bins. Yes.
So how
she
cool,
made all that? That's really cool.
So how cool that they had somebody locally make the very important props.
That's really cool.
That is the product. And there's another great sort of photo booth where you can stand there and there's a tray full of product. And you can see it all on the video. But it was
I was going to say, if we
cool.
see it on the video, and then you will see as well Joshua's son, Hayden, who does a fantastic job on that video. And especially in the very, very, very beginning of the video, before it even starts, that's the part we're talking about right now, where he walks to that tray of product. And even the way he talks and the way he acts, you know, it's a very Jesse Pinkman. I loved it. So he was great. A big shout out to Hayden for that job too.
Yeah. A great way to start the video.
Yeah.
So
yeah, definitely.
So yeah, highly recommended. I think Albuquerque is a hidden gem. More than just Breaking Bad. There's a lot to offer. And it's just a great place to visit.
It really is. And again, if you're not actually a Breaking Bad fan at all, do a trip like I did as well, because I didn't do anything Breaking Bad related, but I had a fantastic time going around New Mexico as well. So again, Josh, just one of those things, those treasures of our town where this geocaching adventure labs, where it takes us, you know, where it takes us. Yeah,
totally.
What's coming up, Josh, on our next episode? You know?
We have no idea. No,
we don't.
I don't know.
Well, spoiler alert, we may be going to a little place shortly, in a few weeks' time, over in Kentucky.
Yes. Geo Woodstock.
Yes.
19, which is the Super Bowl of geocaching.
Exactly.
Is in beautiful Owensboro, Kentucky. And we're going.
We're
going there.
We're going there.
And you're going to hear all about it.
We're gonna do a live, not a live broadcast, but we're gonna do a recording, an actual live recording from Owensboro, Josh, and we're gonna talk to a few people live, and so we're gonna have a live recorded episode coming up very, very shortly.
And you're gonna hear probably more voices than just us.
Exactly. And plus, not only that, we might do a few behind the scenes photos and videos and whatnot as well. But Josh, they are gonna be for our Patreons only, I think.
That's fantastic. I think that's great. We need to give them a little more love.
We do.
Again, thank you for those that have chosen to support us. Podcasts, fun fact, they're not free.
No, and they're not cheap.
They're not free. They're not cheap. We're speaking on microphones that hopefully are tickling your ears because of the support of our patrons.
But exactly.
we do need more. So if you've been enjoying this podcast, we'd really appreciate your support. By supporting us, you help us create even better content, and you keep it free for everybody, so we don't have to have any annoying ads. So seriously, please consider joining our Patreon at patreon.com/treasuresofourtown.
Thank you very much. So, Josh, as we said before, coming up in our next episode, we don't actually know as yet, but Owensboro is coming up right now because we've recorded this quite early. It is going to be huge no matter what it is. How can people find or contact us, Josh?
Feel free to reach out to us at treasuresofourtownpodcast@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube.
So, Josh, that's our show for today. Please subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting apps because it helps with the actual podcast itself. So go to your podcasting app where you're listening to this right now and give it the little 5-star tick and do a little review if you like as well. And as always, Josh,
may your travels always lead you to the most unexpected and amazing hidden gems around the world. Say my name and see you next time.
Bye.